This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Oh, my wife would be happy about that one. REO coming in on a Tuesday morning. Shan Sheridan on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's Party Line on WILO. Road with the Changes. Boy, I tell you what, that was a great song. Great, great song. My wife's favorite group back in the 70s. She was rocking the REO way before I met her. And we actually got to go see REO at Ball State a few years ago, and part of an anniversary package that... surprised her with, and she was she definitely had her invisible mic and her air guitar and her drums and all that. She was reliving the 70s, which is very, very scary. It's kind of crazy. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you on this Tuesday morning, January 13th. Hard to believe that we're already in the middle of the first month of the year. Before we go anywhere, I want to tell you, coming up on the show today, 9 o'clock, we've got Sean Reeves from Boone County Chamber. Going to be talking a little bit about Boone County and all the things going on over there. We've got Zach Golden going to be in the studio here in a little bit. We're going to be talking to Zach about his upcoming mission to Ecuador. It's going to be pretty exciting to talk to Zach a little bit about all of that. And we'll be touching base with him and also seeing how you can help as he is going to be shipping out from our community, and we commissioning him to go do the Lord's work, that's for sure. But before we do that, we got to do some business. We want to thank all of our partners, 51 West Event Center. This is all of our HoosierLandTV.com sponsors. HoosierLand TV, of course, broadcasting Party Line each and every Monday through Friday, and they broadcast ball games and community events all throughout the year. And these are the folks that make it happen. 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Sheep's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Sheep's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Town and Country Glass, all helping us with the Hoosierland TV broadcast. And then we've got the WILO Party Line partners, TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC Trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Marshan's Window Tinting in Antioch. We stick it where the sun shines. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals. Save money now. 24/7. WeLoveBigDeals.com. Boone County and Carroll County and Clinton County DailyNews.com, bringing you all free local online news in our area, region, and our community. So we appreciate all those folks making it happen each and every day. Speaking of today, we want to share with you a little bit of the weather. Mostly cloudy with a high near 48, breezy with a west-southwest wind, a little breezy, 22 miles an hour. Gust up to 37, so batten down the hatches. Unfortunately, I think it's going to blow in a cooler wind. Tonight, low around 31, and then tomorrow, rain and snow showers likely with a high of only 32. So we're going to get back to winter real quick. We're just going to have a brief dose of spring and then right back to winter. And then next week, it gets really crazy, but we won't even go into next week. High of 21, they're talking about on Martin Luther King Day. So we button up. And there's a lot of sickness going on. Boy, there's a lot of folks with the flu. It just take care of yourself. Take some vitamin D, vitamin C, a little stuffy myself this morning, but you just got to keep going, keep moving. But if you don't feel well enough, if you've got a fever, whatever the case may be, stay home. Don't give it to anybody else. You kind of have to monitor that stuff. So just take care of yourself. A lot of folks sick, and we don't want you to be any worse for your wear, but we also don't want you to give it to anybody else as well. Hey, it is National Radio Broadcasting Day, started in 1920. That's apropos for today. Today is National Public Radio Broadcasting Day, honoring the very thing you're listening to right now. Radio airwaves are considered public property. Did you know that? Which is why we need a license to broadcast and why we get in big trouble if we get caught like saying bad words and things like that. America's first commercial radio station, KDKA, went on the air 106 years ago in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and is still broadcasting today. I doubt that they were broadcasting the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially after last night. Wow. Or this weekend. It was terrible. Steelers really looked bad. But that's where the first radio station started, KDKA. And that is National Radio Broadcasting Day. So congratulations to Casper Media for being all these years broadcasting. It's also National Gluten-Free Day. And it's National Rubber Ducky Day. Just so you know. Joining me in studios right now, I don't think he brought his rubber ducky, but and I don't know if he's gluten-free, but he is on the radio, celebrating the radio National Radio Broadcast Day. Zach Golden. Good morning, Zach.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Good. Unexpected surprise. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I was thinking about that this morning coming in the radio station that we had open time at 8:30, and I thought, well, I know Zach is getting ready to cast off on a new venture, and we thought, well, maybe this would be a good time to talk to Zach a little bit about that. So first and foremost, let's talk a little bit about Zach. What, you know, Zach, you've been around here for a while, and Frankfort. Did you grow up in Frankfort?
I did. Yeah. I've been here my entire life.
Yep. So you you've been here your entire life. You went to school. Did you go to school at Frankfort?
I was a mighty ferocious hot dog. Yes, I was.
And so then you went. You got you became employed and all that good stuff. But what path did you kind of take that that maybe sometimes we don't want to like to talk about, but it's part of your history, part of your past, and then how God turned that around?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do some stuff that we're not necessarily proud of, and the path that I walked isn't something that most people would want to share, but that path led me down drug addiction, suicidal thoughts, no purpose, no passion. I never felt like I had a standing in the world, you know? I always felt like I was the man in the corner in a full room. Then I ended up at a place called Saw DePaul, you know? And it's funny because as you were talking on the radio, I was just sitting here thinking how good God is and how we're created for a purpose and a passion. And I was just listening to you and your voice on the radio and how it was coming out. I'm like, man, Shane was kind of created for this like radio gig and how that is. And at Saw DePaul, I got a little glimpse, a little glimmer that I was created for a purpose, that I wasn't.
Amen.
I wasn't supposed to hate myself and run from who God created to me to be, that there may be a reason for my life. Mm. And once I got that, it gave me a whole new perception on life. I mean, I was rescued. I was saved. I was given a purpose. And the creator of the universe had a plan for me. And he didn't want me to take my life. And I think that realization that whether I thought I was something or not, that the God who created all of the universe saw the purpose, not just in me, but in every single person. And I think that's what brought me down this path to now looking at what can we do to help change the world for the people that feel like I did.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about it. We won't dwell too much on the past, but you know why? You've worked at the Crossing.
Yes.
You've been involved in ministry now. You're getting ready to go on this mission journey. You're committing yourself to a time out of country into another foreign country. But why is it, you mentioned, you know, suicide ideation or suicidal ideation, the drugs and all of that. You know, what in your mind, because you're talking about having this kind of lack of purpose, what do you think draws people into that state of mind? I mean, we all you know, we're all kind of born. We all come out of our mom, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess there's the test tube babies out there, but most of us come out of our moms. But, you know, we're all born human. We're mm-hmm. we're flesh and blood, bone and marrow. But yet there's so many differences because we all have different DNA.
Yeah.
But we all seem as human beings still to struggle with certain commonalities.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
I think, you know, it's easy to say that there's a problem out in the world, but I think it goes on a much deeper level. I mean, me compared to most people growing up, I had a beautiful life growing up. I didn't have anything bad. A beautiful family, huge family, went on family vacations, was raised in church. It was the idea of what I seen others have and what I didn't, and this recognition of, like, I couldn't have friends. And I think that internal thing that, you know, no matter who you are or what you have in life, when you look out and you see other people and you have this desperate loneliness, you know, technology nowadays is, I think, the driving factor. It takes away that interpersonal relationships. You don't have face-to-face interactions. So for me growing up, that was one thing I always craved, was just friendships and knowing that I had a place in the world. And I think that's the, you know, when you look at the world and the way it is, there is something out there that says, you know, in our hearts, we know what's right and wrong, but there's also someone out there that's going to try to drive you to do wrong. And that's, you know, that's Satan. And he wants to destroy your life because God knows you and has a purpose for you. And on the other side of that, you have this person that's trying to destroy you. And I think that no matter how much money you have in your account, how matter handsome you are, how beautiful you are, no one is past that. And I think that's the major problem.
Yeah, I think certainly agree with that. The challenge too that I believe we face in humankind is that these insecurities are brought on by a lot of different things. It could happen when you were young. Mm-hmm. Somebody could say something that you allowed to strike deeper than probably it should have gone, mm-hmm. because we do validate a lot of people in our lives, yeah. sometimes that we're like, and I think about sometimes the people that I have validated or let people, you know, get to me, and it gets a little frustrating because sometimes we put so much emphasis on what others think, and yet there is a God that created us, made us, formed us, that put that purpose. In fact, the scripture says God set eternity in our heart. So there is, it's more than just about the now.
Yeah.
It goes way beyond that into eternity. And so, and what you're getting ready to do is do some kingdom work and look at eternity. Now, you were doing that at the Crossing. You've been working with students for, in fact, you just had a blessed reunion here this morning.
Yes, that, I did.
Yeah. So
one of the first students, 2019, yeah. when I first started. And I'll give her a shout out. Dason works here at the studio, to see where she was at in that point of, what do I do in my life? Was I created for anything? Look at where I am. And now look where she is. She found that thing that she is, you know, and back to that.
But Dason's she's the bright spot around here too. she like comes in and it could be like very gloomy and your world is going and you're like, she's the bright star. And you're like, okay, shine down, yes. bring down the brightness a little bit.
But that you wouldn't have seen that
yeah.
in 2019 when yeah. she was finding that. And I think that's yeah. part of that mission's yeah. work is going yeah. out into the world. And even back to the suicidal things, who did I let at my table and who did I give credence to for my life that I knew nothing about?
Right.
Trying to get what everybody else has when I'm created differently and for a purpose. So I think doing the mission work, that Dason and those stories at the Crossing, when you see them find and not walk that path that you walked, I think that's hope. Hmm. And I think that the world would be a much better place if we could get a little bit of hope in this towards Jesus and not towards money or materialistic things or the best job or such and such and such, and what really matters in life.
Yeah.
And it's how you treat others. It's how you love others. And it's that Lord and Savior, why did he save you? Why did he create us? You know, and I think that's that driving force for me are those stories, like seeing Dason. I mean, yeah.
The eternal stuff.
Yeah.
Versus yes. just the temporal stuff mm-hmm. that we sometimes get stuck into and stuck. You know, there's things that happen even in the course of a day. It could be something someone looks at you wrong, somebody, you know, gets upset with you at the traffic light or whatever, and then you kind of, sometimes people that let that bother them throughout the day. But those of us that have that eternal mindset, it's not easy though, because you know, you're trying to rise above some of those things, mm-hmm. but it's not easy because you're still dealing with the human flesh and the human motion, the struggle. Now, your mission started pretty much at the crossing, but when you came to Christ, you saw to Paul, you made that switch, you made that turn. But during that time with the crossing, God opened your eyes and some things. You guys actually went on a trip to Ecuador.
El Salvador,
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. But led you to now this new mission experience or a mission trip. I shouldn't say trip. It is going to be an immersion, an experience, an immersive ministry, because you're going there for a couple of years, correct?
Yeah.
Going to Ecuador.
Yep, moving 2 years to Ecuador. I think the El Salvador trip, getting to take those kids to another country, to an impoverished country, and you get to see how they live. And, you know, you look in America, and we're blessed. You know, our homeless and our poor are not truly poor. I mean, if I was poor, I'd post up at McDonald's, and I'd wait for the person that ordered a Big Mac that had tomatoes on it or pickles on it that they didn't order, and they threw it in the trash can, and I'd go eat that. You know, when you go to El Salvador, and they're dying on the streets because they weigh 90 pounds and the kids can't get water, and they have smiles on their face because they're just grateful to be alive, you know? And I think we get lost on that. And to take these kids and get to see that, it also hit a spot in my heart to go down there and to see that there's this change that we can help out, you know? And I think, so why would God choose somebody to take from here and move to another country? Well, there's a lot of mission works that needs to be done in the United States, don't get me wrong. But anywhere you go in the United States, down a block, you're going to see a church, you know, and that's the church's job to stand up within the United States and do that. So I think for me, those trips with the kids and at the crossing and get to see hope, to be able to take that to a place that doesn't have it readily available on every street corner is the driving factor of taking what God has learned along the way in the crossing and taking it somewhere else. And I think that's the beauty of God is, you know, that sanctification, it doesn't end till the day, and neither does your purpose. And if you walk in obedience, he's always got another step for you. And it's not for your glory or any glory except for his. And I think bringing that light to the world is a need.
Well, yeah, and that world is right outside the door.
Yes.
I mean, that world is anywhere that you are. God has called us. I was texting with someone this morning. They're, you know, struggling with a decision that has been made kind of impacts their life. And, we were just talking about how you got to be salt and light. Even in the midst of a struggle and a difficult time, you've got to be. God's called us out of Matthew, you know, chapter 5 and chapter 6. God has called us to be salt and light. And salt meaning, you know, when people bump into you or people come in contact with you, they should see something different as a believer, as a Christian. When they, when you're in a dark situation, in a dark place, the light of God should be shining through those folks that are followers of Christ. And I think, you know, this is Shanology. This is my own take. This is what I believe. So, you know, don't blame God for this. But I do believe that there is. In fact, I had a minister friend many, many years ago tell me, he was a mentor to me, and he said, Shan, you have to understand, especially in America, because I was actually doing a first sermon. I was only 13 years old, and I was doing a sermon on freedom in America. This was a patriotic sermon because it was around July 4th. It was like, and it was in 1976. It was the bicentennial year. And he told me, he said, one of the, it didn't hit me till long after, really. He said, one of the struggles and the problems and the challenges with America is that we are so blessed that we lose our purpose. And the blessing can get caught up sometimes, or the purpose can get caught up sometimes and that we're so blessed, like you said, we have an abundance that we miss out on the purpose. We miss out on the significant thing that God has put in our heart, which is eternity, and we get caught up in the temporal.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, those separate little trips that I've taken out of the country, and I think your earlier part of your life when you did your mission trip, I think maybe you would agree with us to an extent. And some people may hear this and they may get like, oh, how dare him. I think Americans cut out the Spirit of God because of we have the doctor, we have everything that we need readily available, where you go to another country and they have one hospital in the entire country.
Yeah.
You see the Spirit of God moving in a different way because they don't have a doctor that they can just go to when they have a headache in the morning. And instead of praying, they go, let's go schedule an appointment with the doctor and get their medicine. And I think that relation, you know, to then be able to say, what are they missing to not get it if they have that spirit? And it's the people that take that out, you know?
Yeah, and a good point in all of this is that some people would say, well, wait a minute. I've got a bad life. Well, hey, and I think you would agree with this. A lot of the bad situations that happen in America are due to choice.
100% agree.
It's not necessarily the atmosphere or the attitude of the country. I think God has blessed us here in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, there are bad things that happen to good people. There are terrible things that happen. I mean, disease, death, there's all kinds of things that take place that really do impact a person. But a lot of things we bring on ourselves, a lot of things, the choices that we make can lead us down a road that, you know, God wants to redeem us and bring us back like that Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
But it is choices that make us where, if you look at another country, sometimes the choice is, do I eat dirt or not eat?
Yeah.
Do I drink horrible, dirty water, or do I dehydrate? I mean, those are some of the decisions that are being made in other countries.
That it breaks my heart. Like in El Salvador, we had went into the village, you know, and they got the little trowel dug in the ground. That's your septic and your sewer running out wide. And a little girl, she was thirsty, and she had drank that, and she passed away. She couldn't have been 6 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, to meet their mom a couple of weeks later, and she's just going through her life, like, that's an everyday thing there. Like, oh, yeah. Not that it's not horrible, but it's an expected thing to possibly lose your kid because they didn't have clean water, you know.
Right.
And we're over here in America.
I'm drinking
bottles of water. Yeah. You walk through the crossing and we probably throw away 35 bottles of water half drinking through the day.
That's got, like right now, I've got about a quart. Now, I'll drink this because I get on my grandkids all the time. You're going to drink this. You're not going to throw that away. I'm going to pour this down your gullet. No, I did that with the kids. I didn't do that with my grandkids. Grandkids are a little different, but they still leave half empty. Or full Cokes or whatever around the house, but you know it does. You know, as we talk about this trip you're going on, and again, I don't want to say trip because you're making this a commitment. This is a commitment for at least 24 months, at least 2 years. You're going to make the commitment. I real quick ask you before we can find out how we can help support. What was the genesis for this decision? I mean, I know you went to El Salvador. I know you've been part of the mission of the crossing. I know God's taken Saul to Paul. All of those things have been working on Zach.
Yeah.
So, but what did then Zach make the decision to say, you know, I've got to be a part of a bigger mission. I have to be part of something bigger than just me.
In Ephesians, one of the verses, for you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which was being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And throughout that walk and finding what my calling is and watching God fine-tune that, whoever wants to lay down his life for my sake will save it. And to be saved and taken to that point, what is the purpose of my life? And I think through the crossing and through those things is God has chosen me to show people that they are loved. and that they are seen and that they are heard and that there's a purpose for their life, Shan. And it's not to hate yourself, and it's not to think that you need to end it. And that doesn't just stay to America. That goes everywhere.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think, you know, being able to take that quality of life. I'm not a doctor. I'm not an engineer. I didn't go to school. I'm not an Albert Einstein. But one thing I've learned through the good and the bad is how to live life and how to love life and how to appreciate life because of Jesus. And I think that, taking that and being able to live alongside of him. I'm not going to be able to do surgery. I'm not going to be able to do those things, but I will spend 24/7 of my day alongside of you to help you find your purpose in life.
But don't you think that one of the things that that I believe sometimes we neglect, because you talked about the medical side, you talked about the mental, the emotional, all of those things, but really it comes down to the spiritual.
Yes.
I mean, it really comes down to when you find your purpose in God, not even in yourself, but when you, because I've known people that have engineering degrees.
Yeah.
I've known people that are very intellectual. I've known people, incredible, talented people that still struggle. What am I supposed to do? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you look at all the yeah. ability that you have, but they still struggle because they have not they have not released that ability or that talent that God gave them to God.
Yeah.
Because he is the ultimate carrier or holder of the, he created you to be that and to do that and put that in your heart.
You know, I'm pretty sure you've heard this, you know. God allows your work to be in your mess, you know, whatever your mess was. And I know you know Romans 8:28, you know, in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his name. And I think for me, looking at that rap sheet, looking at everything that was and seeing where God has turned it now, you know, for me, you're right, finding that. Everyone has that purpose, but for me, I had to be completely broken to find out what made me completely broken, to find out that's what God wants me to work in, because my life's not about me. Yes, I live that, but I'm not the only one that feels that way. And I think when we look at that and see where we're at and how can we take what we've been through to help the spiritual aspect, because you're right, if you don't have a peace, how can you ever go through life fully happy? How can you look and say, what was I created for? If you always have that nagging thought, that was cured for me when I accepted Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit came in, and we look at it and say, what does the Bible say? Because it brings about peace. Jesus Christ brings about the peace, instead of looking at the world being caught with hell hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I think that's the missing key when we look around the world, is we don't believe in the Spirit of God, of Jesus Christ, that's on this earth now. When we make those decisions that you say, it all comes down to decisions that we make. Well, Jesus Christ isn't on this earth anymore, Shan, but his Spirit is. And when we make that decision and we allow that Holy Spirit to come in, that's where we get that peace, and that's where we get it. And it's lost in this world. And, you know, it's time for us Christians to stand up and say, hey, are we going to do something about it? Are we just going to let everyone kind of just sit in the darkness?
Well, and there's a lot of different religions out there. There's a lot of different pathways and things like that. But, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And the great thing about that is that he is the real deal. Because you can try all these other things, but they will lead you to an empty glass. They will lead, you will come to the end of yourself. You'll come to the end of that idol, that God, that material, that piece of your life that you invested so much. We will all come to the end of that. But one of these days, when you come to the end of that, you're going to say, but for the believer, for the Christian, we come to the end of that. And it just, it's a reality when we come to the end of ourselves that, hey, it's just the beginning because it is just starting.
Just a blip on the overall timeline thing.
So how can people help you? Let's talk a little bit about that, because we got to get on the break.
Running out on time.
Yeah.
I do have, it's Golden Light Ministries. We went ahead and we formed a non-for-profit because I think that's a necessity to be able to handle money. So Golden Light Ministries, you can send a check to P.O. Box 11, Frankfort, Indiana, 46041. And you can also get on Facebook and look up Golden Light Ministries, and there's a QR code on there that goes to Give Butter that you can donate online.
Okay, Golden Light Ministries on Facebook. Follow on Facebook, Golden Light Ministries. And what was the P.O. Box again?
P.O. Box 11. And it's it's also listed there on Facebook.
And the QR code, that'll take you everywhere.
QR code, and we also have a website, goldenlightministries.org. Mm. And I take off January 31st is my last full day in the States. Mm. I've sold and gotten rid of all my belongings, so when I come back...
Hey,
you have nothing, and that's what we're called to do.
We'll
right?
We'll find a place for you to stay. So yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, you leave, you come into this world with nothing. You know, Job Amen. Said, "Naked as I come, naked will I go." And hey, we're going to pray with you before we get out of here. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Zach. Thank you, Lord, for his minute, for his heart, for his light. Thank you, Lord, that the Golden Light Ministries will definitely share the light, spread the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I pray for Zach. I pray for the entire team. I pray for, Lord, Ecuador. They have no idea what's getting ready to hit them. And I pray, God, that you would just prepare those as a seed is planted. May he be a good gardener in all of this, Lord, because we plant the seed, you cultivate it, and sometimes you send other people to water it and cultivate it. And some people even are the ones that are harvesting it. But regardless, we should all be planting seed. Let us be good gardeners. And as we go forth, be salt and light in a world that needs, Lord, a lot more flavor, and certainly in this darkness, a lot more light. We thank you for Zach and appreciate his commitment, and we just ask a blessing and safety and protection over him through the power and the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, brother. Sounds good. I'm going to take a quick break. You might hang out with me a little more if we don't have our guest coming in or calling it. We'll keep up the conversation.
All
so,
right.
But we'll see what we've got going on the other side. It is Party Line. We'll be back possibly with Sean Reeves. We'll see what happens. If not, we'll talk more about life with Golden Light Ministries and Zach Golden here from Frankfort, Indiana. Getting ready to go to Ecuador. P.O. Box 11. Help him out if you possibly can. 46041, or go to the Facebook page, Golden Light Ministries. We'll be right back. It's Party Line on WILO.